All right, everybody stand up if you would. It is good to have my mom is with us today. 86 years old. She and I are going to take a road trip again today. So she and I is heading toward Tennessee today. And so we're going to have a good time, aren't we? We got Cracker Barrel in our agenda and Taco Bell. Come on, how can you beat that? We're going to start a new today called Be Transformed. And I really ought to named it Let Yourself Be Transformed, because that's literally what the Greek says. Let yourself be transformed. And let's read it out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed, everybody say conformed, to this world, but be, everybody say transformed, by the renewal of your mind. And literally it says, allow yourselves to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So today is called Be Transformed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we feel your presence, we know it. And Lord, we do it by faith, but Lord, it's good to feel some things sometimes. And so we just do it. Lord, we thank you that you know us, that we are your creation. You made us body, soul, and spirit. You made all the different aspects of us, Lord, and you care about every aspect, not just one. So Lord, we reach up to you today with our hearts. We ask you, Lord, would you feed us? We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Well, didn't Ben do a good job last couple of weeks? And, you know, I look at my mom and my dad, and they loved God. And then I look at Jasmine, her parents, Samuel, and Naomi. How many know they had no choice? Come on, somebody. And because of godly heritage. And I'm glad my mom, I told you, my mom was a disciplinarian in our home. And when there needed to be a whipping, my mom got the switch. How many know what a switch is? You know what a switch is? How many had to go get your own switch sometimes to bring it to your mama? And I remember one time on a Sunday, I crawled underneath the pews and I got a two switch. Come on, I got a two switch Sunday. But my dad used to take us in the bedroom and take the belt, hit the bed and tell us to scream. Come on, somebody. All right, and so we just appreciate it. Don't forget, Ben said two things very important. One is small groups. If you would like to lead a small group, you do not have to be an Einstein in theology. We just want you to host it in your home or host it at the church here. We've got a lot of classrooms. We just want you to be the facilitator. All you have to do is be able to breathe and eat, all right? And people like food. And then our goal of this is not so much Bible teaching, though some of them are. But it's really fellowship and getting people to connected with each other. And so if you're more of a social butterfly or like that, and it can go anything. I mean, we've had gun things, right? We've had gun things together. We've had where they went on and learned how to shoot together. How many know that's a real bonding time together, guys? And we've had everything from, letter writing to coloring to theology to revelations to studying, doctrinal things. So anything along that line, anything maybe you're good at, you've got a talent at. Maybe you did something, you know, that you learned. I mean, we did all kinds from writing classes, how to write a book or how to write things to English, or maybe you want to do. And so the goal is just to get people together to fellowship and get to know each other. So whatever it is your talent may be, and if you'd like just to do it after service, I think it'll be right in here, right? I believe it'll be in the main auditorium. And just come up front, and you'll be about. And then secondly, is I'll be doing the 101 growth track today. So if you're new to the church and you would like to know about it, you got questions, how's it set up, who runs it, who's the big chief, come on somebody, who's how all that stuff works. Over in this classroom next door, I'll be heading it up for, and it's not going to take an hour. Come on, somebody. We're going to go about 30, 35 minutes because we got to go to Tennessee. Come on, we got to go to Tennessee. So we've got some food for you and drinks over there that nobody else, we have food that no one else knows of, all right? And we've held it back there for you. We'll have some drinks and stuff. So we'll be together back there. We have a fun time. I'll share how our church is set up, where we started, where we began back in the 70s, how our church began in a warehouse. And we were in a warehouse for a long time over on Wooddale Boulevard. And we'll talk about all that and how we are today. And then I'll tell the story how I met Jasmine. It'll be a love story. You love love stories. So come on and it'll be a great morning. All right. Let's get to our sermon. Get off that. The Bible says there's two things can happen in your life. One is you can either be transformed to become more like Jesus, or you can be conformed and become more like the world. And verse 2 says, be transformed by renewing of your mind. The way you're transformed is through prayer and the Word of God. And we'll talk about it. But see, the devil always tries to steal the word. Because right now, some of you have already zoned out. You're already in next week. You're thinking about where you're going. You're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about the afternoon. You're thinking about... See, that's not the Holy Ghost leading you there. That's the devil putting you somewhere else right now. Because you know what I've learned to do in life? Wherever I am, be there. There's some people, they're never where they are. They're always somewhere else. And you can do that. You ever talk to anybody, you know, you can just tell they're not listening to a word you're saying. One of the presidents, I think Roosevelt, President Roosevelt used to do that because all these, you know, people would come through the state line. He'd sit there and shake your hands. And so he just wanted to test him. He said, I shot my mother this morning. I said, thank you, President. It was a great speech. And they just went right by him. He said, one of the delegates says, I guess you deserve it. Come on, somebody. So at least one person was listening to what he was saying. And so you got to be wherever you are, be there. Because the devil tries to steal the word. See, he's the terminator, but Jesus sows the word. He's the germinator. Come on, somebody. So he sows the words into your life, and he wants to do it. Be transformed. He said, literally, let yourself be transformed because that by the renewing of your mind. When you read the New Testament, you see how Jesus transformed one life after another. In John chapter 2, it's a story where Jesus did the miracle of transforming the water into wine. And it is the first miracle that he ever did. And many times a fountainhead, the first of anything, sets the precedent for the rest. And you wonder, why did he do that? Why did he make his first? Because it records it and says it. This is the first miracle that he ever did. And the first miracle he ever did was a miracle of transformation, because that was going to be his entire ministry. He was going to transform things one after another, whether it be people, whether it be cities, whether it be names, whether it be, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was known as a bad town, but listen, now it's revered in the day. The cross was one of the worst horrible things of the day, and now it's loved by millions. He was the great transformer. He's the one that transformed. And the first miracle, the number one, was a miracle of transformation. And I'm going to take out of that and kind of talk today about how does he do that? How does God transform us? And I think this is going to be a great teaching. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 through 11. It says, on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. His mother said to the servant, and notice she didn't say, is that the way you go talk to your mama? We've had a fun week. Come on, somebody. We've had a fun week with my mom here. His mother said to his servants, no, notice how her response was, do whatever he tells you. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw now some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn it knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to the bridegroom, which is probably as astounded as anybody, everyone serves a good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, now you understand how that works? When they get a little tipsy, then you give them Varsal. Come on, somebody. They won't even know the difference. Freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. And the first of his signs, in some translations, the first miracle Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and disciples believed in him. It was his first miracle. Listen, God is a miracle-working God. And if you don't believe that, just read the Bible, because the Bible is a miracle digest. In the beginning, God created out of nothing. The word bara means God created out of nothing the heavens and the earth. How many know that's a miracle? I don't care what you believe scientifically, because there's always how far back do you go and where did everything come from to begin with? And you'll read many scientific journals say, go to theology for that question. Because we cannot answer the question, where did everything begin? Where did everything come from to start with? Because our mind cannot conceive that. You cannot conceive that there's no end to something. How can you conceive that? Everything we know of, this church has, this building has a, you know, dimensions to it. Your mind cannot conceive something that has no end to it, has no boundaries to it. They have scopes of the universe. Your universe is curved and all that. But your mind tells you then what's on the outside of the curve. Where did it come from? If some hit a molecule hit somewhere and began to come out of the swamp and all and mutated and mitated, migrated, all that, where did it come from? Then where did that come from? Then where did that come from? You follow me? So the Bible is a miracle digest. I mean, he picks up a handful of dirt, breathes into it, and the man becomes a living soul. He did not evolve. He did not come out of the muck. God made us. Come on, somebody. He made man and woman. It was a miracle of God. He divided the Red Sea. It was a miracle. Three Jews were in a fiery furnace, and the fourth one shows up. They did not burn. They did not bow. Come on, somebody. They believed God for what he was doing. The virgin birth is a miracle. The ministry of Jesus was a miracle ministry. John chapter 2 and 23 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs or the miracles that he was doing. He spoke with authority as one had it. And John, you got to learn this. Every miracle that he did had a message. Every miracle that he did was not just so people go, ooh, awe. Every miracle that he did had a message. It was something he wanted to teach us beyond just the physical. I was in Tennessee, and I grew up in Tennessee a portion of my life, and we'll be back there tonight. I remember one time reading in the Tennessee paper, the Tennessee policemen are pretty tough up there. You may think they're tough in Louisiana, but in Tennessee, the Tennessee state police are tough. And one time I remember reading in a newspaper, it had an article about a Tennessee patrolman had pulled over a guy, and he was a known bootlegger, and so he pulled him over, and there on the seat was a bottle. And so the patrolman said, "What's in the bottle, son?" And the guy said, "Water. Hand it over here." Smelled it. "That's wine." The bootlegger said, "The Lord has done it again." I never forgot that. Jesus is in the transforming business of taking, it's a story where he transforms water into wine, priceless wine. He says, transformer. Listen, I've learned this. He can take your life. And he can transform whatever it is that you need transformed in your life. He can transform it. I went back to Virginia a few years ago, and I didn't get my senior year annual. I moved in the middle of the year, and the annuals came out at the end of the year, and I paid for it, and they didn't give it to me. I still hold a grudge. And so I didn't get it, but they have a library. So I went up in the library, and they have all the annuals, you know, from the beginning of the school all the way through. So I got my senior annual, and I looked under, and under each name, it had, under each picture, it had a theme about you. Guess what my theme was about me? Most likely to stay drunk the rest of his life. That was in my annual. How many know God done a mighty work in me? Come on, somebody. He transformed a blustering fisherman who was impetuous and unstable and turned him into a rock. And he was so unstable that a little 18-year-old girl, he denied the Lord three times and cussed during the middle of it. And yet the Lord transformed him just a few days later. He's standing up the day of Pentecost preaching without fear, and 3,000 got saved. He could do the same thing in your life this morning. I'm going to tell you, he transformed John. He was a hot-tempered son of thunder into the apostle of love. Wrote the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Listen, he transformed a greedy tax collector called Zacchaeus and made him into a... How many know when you can transform an IRS agent and make him a giver? You've done a miracle of God. He transformed a demon-possessed woman named Mary. She became the first preacher of the resurrection. She went and told the disciples. He transformed an intellectual monster by the name of Saul of Tarsus and turned him into the greatest Gentile missionary ever on the face of the earth. He's a miracle-working God. Jesus is still in the transforming business. Drug addicts, it doesn't matter what you're hooked on, whether it's legal or illegal, God can transform. God can change you and deliver you from it. He can transform a sick body. He can transform, you know, a thumb-sucking pity party, you know, pity person, and make you a fearless man or woman of God. I've learned that about God. Listen, quit whining about the attacks of the devil. Understand you've got the power of God in your life, and you can stand up. Listen, that pity parties get you nowhere with God. God does not, nobody's ever had it. Yeah, there's been lots of people had it worse than you. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. Education informs us. Penitentiaries reform us. But only Jesus transforms us. Come on. Give him a good clap off this morning. Doesn't it? Now, the transformation of water into wine happened during a wedding. And I like that because one of the greatest transformations you'll ever go through in your life is when you get married. See, before I got married, Jasmine got married, I was perfect. There was no fights on what we were going to watch, what we were going to eat, what we were going to wear, when the bed was going to be made, when we were going home, and when we were staying out. And I thought I was perfect. I thought, you can't believe it. But then he does this miracle of transformation at the first wedding. And he puts his stamp approval on that. A wedding is between a man and a woman. You got to kind of say that today. Marriage is a miracle of transformation. And it's and literally Genesis 2 verse 24 says this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. And they shall become what? One. They shall become one. The two shall become one. Now, let me tell you how this miracle of transformation occurs. Because the miracle, because marriage is a miracle of transformation. It's where two become one. And some people believe that the miraculous happens that when they both say, I do, and they're standing before the preacher and the congregation, and somehow they're looking dreamily into each other's eyes, and sudden, miraculously, the two now are becoming one. Well, let me tell you, that's not how it happens. In fact, let me show you how God performs this miracle of transformation. You get married on your honeymoon, the words, the two shall become one, start with the battle of which one? They say the shortest distance on the planet is between I do and you'd better. Hey, watch this little video. This is Mr. and Mrs. Potato driving down the road. Watch this little video. You may have seen this one.
Slow down. What's the hurry? You're driving like a maniac. Are you listening? I can't stand it when you ignore me. This wind is messing up my hair. Oh, don't give me that look. Watch the road. Great. Now look what you've done. I told you not to drive so...
That says it all right there. We'll leave it right there. All right. How does the miracle of marriage occur? I watched some videos this week as I was working on this. I don't know how many videos of how to make mashed potatoes. Anybody watch the video of how to make mashed potatoes? I watched Who the Woman That Went to Prison That Cooks a Lot? Martha Stewart. Yeah, I watched Martha Stewart on how to make. I thought she'd have her prison garb on, but she did. She was all dressed right. And so let me tell you, the way that two potatoes become mashed potatoes and have transformed into mashed potatoes is that the preacher does not lay his hands on top of those two potatoes and say, oh, Lord, make them one. Here, let me tell you mashed potatoes. Most of you that cook and know how to make mashed potatoes, other than out of a box, we're not talking about out of a box, is you start by, the first thing is you skin them. You strip them down to nothing. You skin them alive. Second thing is you throw them in the hot water, boiling water. You're supposed to put them in cool water and then boil them up. That's always the right way. I learned how to do it. And then you take a spatula and you pound and you pound and you pound and you pound and you pound. And then you take a little whisk or whatever it's called and you stir them until you can't tell one from the... Come on, somebody. That is the miracle of transformation. Everybody married, say amen and amen. That's the miracle of marriage. I remember there was a lady, she walked in the living room and her husband was there and he said, honey, there's water in the carburetor. He said, he looked at her and said, how do you know there's water? You don't even know a carburetor from a tailpipe. How do you know there's water in the carburetor? I ran the car into the pool. And then to help the process, he sends kids. Come on, somebody. Then if the mashed potatoes aren't doing just right, he sends kids along. And no matter what society says, modern society says, kids are a blessing from God. Everybody say amen. And you know why we're in trouble in America and Social Security and all the rest? You know why we're in America? Because of abortion. Abortion has eliminated millions. I mean, between 40 and 50. I've got how many we at now? 54? 54 million tax-paying citizens would be in America right now paying into your retirement. But it's being aborted in America. That's what's happened in America. All right, let's talk about it. Let me just talk about a few things, and we're going to pray. Let me tell you, show you some truths about transformation. Because transformation is joyful. Number one is, it is joy. When you read this, his first miracle, transforming water into wine, brought great joy. Because wine was drank in that day instead of many other things because of, they didn't have refrigeration like we have it today. And so wine was drank in that day. And some of you need God to restore the joy of your salvation. Some of you, the only way you'd end up smiling is if you put a coat hanger in your mouth. That's the only way you wake up smiling. All his, listen, in his presence is fullness of joy. And the Bible, wine is a symbol of joy. Psalms 104 and verse 15. And wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen the man's heart. Oil was wine to make glad the heart of man. And Moses turned water into blood and judgment. But Jesus turned water into wine. He brought joy into the world. He's turning water into wine in people's lives. He's full of grace and mercy, the Bible says. He's coming to bring life. He came to bring life, and that more abundantly. And so the Bible speaks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, the world is full of doom. It's about all these things going to happen. That North Korea is about to blow up, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is coming, and that's coming. Let me tell you, that's invaded the church. You got to lift your heads up. You know why? Because you're headed for one of the greatest parties ever on the face of the earth. The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. God's got it fixed. It's going to last for 1,000 years. We're going to party for 1,000 years. Lord, who cares about if your house got 6 inches or 8 feet? Come on, we're going to party for 1,000 years. Renew your mind. That's what the Bible says. You wanna be transformed? Renew your mind. Think about these things. Cut the TV off. Cut the radio off sometimes. And meditate on the things of God. I'm heading for a party. I'm going to be at a party for 1,000 years. Some of you need to stop your whining and let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. I'm going to tell you, Christianity began with angels shouting joy to the world. And it ends with the saints singing around the throne of God. Come on. It begins and ends with the joy of the Lord. Listen, we learned if we lose our joy, we lose our strength. Hebrews 12 and 2 says it this way. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy. Everybody say the joy. See, there's coming day. Paul and Silas was in prison that night. And the Bible says at midnight, they began singing songs of joy. You need to fill your heart back. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Listen, the fathers of the early church sang as they were being burned to the stake. And some of us can't sing because we've thumped our toe. Come on. Again and again, it says, rejoice, the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad. And listen, if you woke up this morning and your name was not in the obituary column, you ought to shout for joy this morning. Come on, somebody. It is there. Psychiatrists say that 1 in 4 Americans are depressed. If you're in a group of four and everybody else looks happy. Let me take a drink here. I heard this one time. Says if you're, it said you call in this place. If you are an obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you have multiple personalities disorder, press 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want. Just stay on the line and we'll trace the call. If you are manic depressive, it doesn't matter what number you press. Nobody's going to help you. Come on, somebody. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So joy is not found in things. Paul said, forgetting the things that was lost in the flood in August. Come on, somebody. How many of you just forget about the things? When your memories are greater than your dreams, you're a dead man looking for a grave. When your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're a dead man looking for a grave. All right, number two, so the first one is joy. Here's another truth about how God transforms your life, like he did the water into wine. The second thing is obedience. Every miracle of transformation has the ingredients of obedience in it. Because obedience, listen, one of the great truths is obedience. Obedience brings the blessing of God. This is true from the gates of Eden to the final closing scenes of the New Jerusalem. The secret of every miracle of transformation was obedience. In John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, now I don't know about you, does this sound a little harsh? This sounded a little bit like, woman, not mom, mama, woman, what does this have to do with me? You ever felt that? You ever anybody come to you and you say, what does that have to do with me? You ever had your wife come to you and tell you something that, what does that have to do with me? And then you find out what it has to do with you, all right? I must be tired today. I can just tell. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to a servant, she didn't say, well, I carried you for 9 months. I cooked, I cleaned. She didn't do any of that. She got over it just like that. And man, listen, Mary, and she did. And listen, I don't know about you. And let me tell you what I believe he was saying. He says, our relationship has changed now. I am now following my Father wholeheartedly. I have now entered into my ministry, my time. And now he says, listen, I love you, but I love God more. Come on, somebody. I want to obey you, but I obey God first. You're high in my life, Mom, but God is higher. And there comes a time in your life when that has... Mary's response was, I'm leaving. Well, you go talk to me like I'm leaving. You go talk to me like... You know what she said in John 2 and verse 5? She said, whatever he says to you, whatever he tells you, to do it. How many know that she's the author of that of Nike ad? She started it. I believe she went and found a place of prayer and she said, okay, he's obeying you, Father. So, Father, would you speak to your son? You ever had that occur in your marriage or in your life? Would you speak to your father? Would you speak to your son? And I believe somewhere God spoke to Jesus. And the Bible says the secret of every miracle is obedience. See, the word of command comes before the word of power. The word of command. See, God will command you something to see if your obedience is there. And every transforming miracle always has the word of command before the word of power occurs. Always before it occurs. See, a word of command comes before a word of power. When Jesus performs a miracle of transformation, water into wine, what does he say? Voila! Let there be wine! Voila! No, there's a command. There's a command that these guys are able to do. Doesn't make sense, but they're able to do it. Fill the pots up with water. And she says, whatever. He first gives the word of command, verse 2, 6 and 7 says, now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites purification, holding 20, 30 gallons. And Jesus said, fill the jars with water. Fill the jars with water. They were empty water. See, listen, they did it. See, blind Bartimaeus, he comes and says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. To the man at the pool of Bethsaida. He said, take up your bed and walk. The man said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You don't know, I've been here for, you know, many, many years. To Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. You didn't hear Lazarus, I'd like to, but I'm dead. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. If you want to be, you want to see a transformation in your life, whatever he says to you, do it. Do whatever God tells you to do. See, let me tell you this. Do you want healing? Then obey him, what he tells you to do. You know, you don't try to obey him. Obey him. You tried broccoli and you don't like it, all right? Jasmine learned real early in life. She tried to blackmail me. When the kids were little and they had broccoli on the table, see, you eat it. Look at daddy. He's going to say, daddy ain't going to eat that stuff. And I still don't eat. I know it's good for you, but I ain't going to eat it, right? You tried low-fat ice cream. It tasted like styrofoam, didn't it? So bring the good stuff and bring the good stuff. Come on. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Until you obey what you don't understand, you're not demonstrating faith. Listen very carefully. Until you do what he commands you, do the things that you don't understand, you're not operating in faith. When you do things that you understand, well, then you're just agreeing with him. That's not faith. Faith is when he tells you dig ditches because there's going to be filled with water. You look at the sky in the Old Testament, that happened. He said dig ditches because by in the morning they'll be full of water and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. So, but when you ask you to do something that you totally don't understand, then you're walking by faith. The Bible says he looked at these servants and says, fill them up with water. They never had known this. Now we know it. We think it's easy. Oh yeah, it's going to be turned into water. They didn't know that. All they knew is we're pouring water in 20, 30 gallons and it'd be, what in the world is the purpose of this? Nobody, I know they're drunk, but they're going to know that's water. And so the flesh does not see the connection between obedience and the miracle of transformation. Obey now. Obey. You want to prosper? Tithe. Oh, that's a good one right there. We'll just get that one. Go right on. Let's turn the next page, all right? God doesn't have a problem getting resources to us, just through us. I mean, a long time ago, God was going to be able to get things through me. And listen, they wanted wine, but they started with water. So let me tell you point number three. Just a few more, we're going to quit. Point number three is use what you've got. If you want to see things in your life transformed, use what you've got. The worst thing you can ever do is buy a magazine called Better Homes and Gardens. Because whose home is it better? Better than yours. The kitchen is better than yours. The bathroom is better than yours. The living room is better than yours. Ooh, that went over like a 10-ton balloon. Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have a staff. Well, use it. We're going to turn it. What do you have? You want a better job? Listen, take this job and you get excited about the job that you've got. If you're just a lazy bum and you're doing halfway work and you cut corners and you slack off when the boss is not looking, listen, I can guarantee you this, you ain't getting no better job. Take what you've got and make it the best it can be. Use what you've got. I remember one time I worked at the state of Louisiana. And I had to stay at a desk and log in samples. And one time I decided I was going to help and just clean the bathroom. And I was in there cleaning. I remember my boss going, "Where's Terry Workman?" And one of the guys pointed that way. And he opened that door. And I was in there scrubbing the floor of that bathroom. How many know that spoke words? You know why? You know what? You know what I did here for years? You know what I did in the church for years? I wasn't up here. Guess where I was? I was out in the parking lot parking cars. I did that for 3 years. You come in the park. We didn't have lines back then. We'd have mediums and we didn't have lines. And I parked your car. You know what I did? I acted like that was a sheep. I said, "I think you got a low tire over there in that car. I think you might need it. I think your tail light's out in the back over there. I think this might be here there." And you ought to see. I used to be out there, and in the rainy season, and then a pastor before me, he'd make us all sit on the stage. All the elders sit on the stage. And I remember one time my socks got so wet out there. I had tennis shoes on. I didn't used to dress up at all. And I took my socks, and I knew when I sat down, my pants would pull up, and they'd see my legs and my ankles if I took my wet socks off. So I took my wet socks off, and I tied them around my. Come on, somebody. But take the best, take the job you got and make it the best you can do it. Use whatever it is you've got. Use it. Fill the pot with water. Use what you've got. God can turn what you've got into transform what you've got. Use whatever you've got. We'll turn it and use it. And then the last one this morning is this. Listen, or next slide. Listen, you do not have to have a crisis to have a miracle. You do not have, listen, running out of wine at a wedding is a problem, but it's not a crisis. There have been some try to say that it's some law back in then that they get sued. That's silliness. They just ran out of wine. And half of them are already tipsy, so who cares? And so you do not have to have a crisis. How many has ever had God do a miracle in your life and it wasn't even a crisis? Let's see your hands. Look at that. God did a miracle in your life and it wasn't even a crisis. So don't think the only time God could do a miracle is if I got cancer. Or I got this, or I'm drowning, or I'm on a ship, and the ship's going, and then God, listen, you just start believing God now, and when that big thing comes, it'll be a whole lot easier stepping in that big thing. Come on. It will do it. I remember I showed a video some months ago, and it was of a man that, I forgot his name now, brain went dead, but he did a miracle of raising people from there, William Branham. And you saw where he was just reading people. And people would come up on the stage and he would say, "Your name is such, and you live on this and this street." and you've got this wrong with you, and God, you know, and God would heal him. Just, I mean, it just happened. But you got to read about his life. He was a game fisherman. And one time he was out fishing, and he brought a fish, and somehow a fish got in the boat with him. And he was just sitting there, and he felt the Lord said, "Now raise that fish from the dead." Because he'd have been up, he didn't put him on a string or anything. He just had him in the boat, and they were dead. He raised that fish, prayed over that fish. That fish came on, came back to life. My mom prayed over my dog. My dog lost his eye. My dog got his sight back. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, you think that something is, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes, and the word comes is in the Greek, it's a continuous verb. Means faith comes and keeps on coming. All right? So it's a Greek continuous. It means faith is the process of growing and might become through the power of the word of God. So let it grow. Let it grow and on and on. Listen, it doesn't have, a man weighs 400 pounds. He does not go down to the gym looking like a barrel with tennis shoes on, lift one 50-pound weight, and then turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger. He goes down there day after day after month after month after year, and then little by little, he's transformed. And you are not transformed because you come to one service and all this and that. Listen, he goes, you begin, God begins to start believing where you are. See what you have. Let it grow and God will do it. And then the very last one is this. You got to remember this. The best is yet to be. The best is yet to be. Everybody say that with me. The best is yet to be. John 2:10, he says, and he said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor. But you have kept the good wine until last. Can I tell you something about God? The best is yet to come. The best, you can talk about eternity. I told you this, we got a party we're going to. It's going to last 1,000 years. How many think we'll put a few pounds on then? Come on, somebody. And it won't matter because you got a glorified body, and somehow we're, I got a feeling it's going to eat calories. It's just an eating calorie machine. we asked how the CPC golf tournament went the other day. I was talking, who was I talking to? My brain went dead. Bob Brunet. Bob said, I said, Bob, who won? He said, all the flat bellies. Bunch of flat bellies. That's who won. Bunch of flat bellies. You understand those young guys? Woo, I am tired today. I can tell this is going. The world gives its best first. See, sin is pleasure for a season. At first it fascinates, then it assassinates. Come on. It thrills you, then it kills you, then it gives you a one-way ticket to hell. Oh yeah, it's still down there. But for the Christian, the best is yet to come. If in this life only we had, you know, we'd be most men miserable. But I'm going to tell you, the reason we got joy is because of the joy that is set before us. We can endure whatever we need to endure. Philippians 1, Paul said it this way. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. That is far what? Better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So I guess I'm going to stay here a while longer. Listen, the best is yet to come. Everybody say amen, amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning, would you? Come on. Isn't God good? Everybody stand up this morning, would you? Nick, guys, come on up. I'm going to tell you, God wants to do a work of transformation. I just felt that. I remember this morning I get a text from a lady in Tennessee. For years I've done it, and she's a prayer warrior, and she just gives out a prayer every morning and out of her prayer time. And I just read it this morning early, and the prayer was, Lord, you're the great transformer. Come on, somebody. And I said, Lord, that's a word for today. It's a word for today. I want you to bring the lights way down low if you can. I know we got all buttons in there. Push one. And I want you just to get ready this morning, because I feel like God wants to do a transforming work in your life. I mean, he wants to transform. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your marriage you want to see transformed. Maybe it's something in your body that needs to be transformed. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe something needs to be transformed. You need it. And so these things we talked about, the joy of the Lord, your strength. You've got to get your eyes on the prize. There is a beyond. There is, you know, I tell people, everyone's like, get your eyes off the nasty now, and get them on the sweet by and by. Because you can't live all in the heaven. But listen, there are times when you need the joy of the Lord to be your strength. You need to know that this thing is not an end. Everything has a caboose. Everything has a caboose. And if it's a physical problem and it doesn't happen until you die, listen, on the other side, you don't take it with you. You get a brand new body on the other side. You get a brand new every on the other side. And there is times when whatever you're carrying, the weight that you're carrying, it may seem like it's going to weight you down. It may, but listen. And then you need to understand there's a whatever you've got, you need obedience. You need to obey God. Maybe God's been moving on your heart to do something, a certain something, whatever, what it may be. It may be forgiveness. It may be something God wants you to forgive somebody about. And he's been moving on your heart maybe to help that person or to help them or write them a letter. You know, one thing I can tell you to do is if you got somebody that you're bitter at and they've already passed on, write a letter. Write a letter to them. Write a letter to them, then read it to them, and then burn it. You know, then burn it, get rid of it. But write a letter to it. Write it out, and then you read it. I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven who takes things and can share things. And there are a lot of things can happen and occur, but you know, forgiveness really isn't for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. I've told you that many, many times. It's drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You need to get it out of you. You need to get it out of you. Maybe it might be something that you're dealing with in your life that you're trapped and it wasn't any of your own doing. But let me tell you, you need some things transformed. You need some transforming thing in your life. And so you know that you've gotten the wrong way and you just need God. Listen, he is a transforming God. Jesus is a transformer. Everything he touched, he transformed it. Everything that had bad reputations, he gave them a new reputation. Bethlehem became a little bitty, though it was little among the thousands of Judea, yet it's lifted high because of him. Nazareth became, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, because a transforming God came out of Nazareth. Women were in second place, but now they were the first ones to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you, God can take whatever it is and transform it in your life. So whatever it is, here's the key though. Because the Bible, when he came, remember when he came and blind Bartimaeus came up to him and they brought him, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him. And they said, be of good cheer. The master calls for you. Come on, come on. You know, they were telling him to shut up a minute ago. No, they were just fickle crowd. Now they say, come on, the master's calling. And Jesus looks at him and says, what do you want? And I just hear that this morning to every person in there. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And so sometimes you have to ask. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss. And that is ask specifically. I want this. I want this type of marriage. I want this with this and this. Lord, here's what I want. But let me tell you something. When you do that, stop the pity party of complaining about what you got and start making it the best it can be. Make it the best it can be. Make it the best job it can be. Go and do the more. Listen, if you just do just enough, you're never going to do the best it can be with a marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's dealing with something in your life, whether it's finances, whatever it may be. Do the best. Do the best with it. Take what you've got. And let me listen, I don't care how little it is. You don't have to have a crisis for God to do a miracle, a transformation in your life. It doesn't have to be a cancer. It doesn't have to be, you know, something going out in this. It can be a small thing, but God wants to do a miracle, a transformation. Even if it's wine at a wedding. Some wedding that never, among thousands of weddings that year, you know, hundreds of, but he did a miracle there. He'll do a miracle. And stop saying, oh no, I'm not important enough. I'm not that. Stop that nonsense. Stop that belittling. It doesn't matter. It was just as some obscure wedding in a far off third world country. And God did a miracle in a wedding. He'll do a miracle this morning in your life. You know why? Because you're a child of his. You've been born again. God has put you. He's got his spirit in you. He loves you more. He'll do a miracle, a transformation in your life. So whatever it is right now, we're going to pray. And I want you, as we begin to pray, you can do it silently so nobody can hear you. But I want you to listen. I want you to move your lips at least. Remember Hannah? She was moving her lips but not speaking out loud. And the Bible says the prophet saw her, Eli saw her, and she got her the calling on her life. She got a son. She wanted a son. So this morning, I want you to move your lips. because that's your heart moving. And when we pray, say, Lord, I want, and then you say, Lord, I want a miracle transformation, and then you say what it is. You just say it. You say it with your heart. Say it with your heart. So, Lord, this morning, I just bring, we come before you as a people. And God, we thank you that you're the God of transforming power. Lord, you've transformed nothing into this gorgeous world that we live in, and we agree it is a beautiful world. You made it, Lord. And one day you're going to redeem it. We're going to have a party with you for 1,000 years. We're going to have a great supper. And Lord, we love you with all our hearts. We bless you. And this morning we've come to you, Lord, to be our great transformer. We believe that you're a God of miracles. And we believe that you can do what no man and nothing can. You can do it, Jesus. And so this morning, Lord, I ask this. I ask that you would transform. And I want everybody now just begin to say it in your heart. Begin to say it in your heart. Begin to let your lips move, but to say what you want to be saying, transform. I want this, Lord. I want my marriage, Lord. I want my life. I want this habit. I want this financial situation. I want this emotional problem. I want this drug dependency, Lord. I want this addiction, Lord, I've got. I want this to be transformed, Lord, by your power. Lord, we thank you. We praise you this morning. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. Did you hear the faintest cry of every heart in this place? That you're so miraculous. You can hear a thousands of prayers at once, Lord. You're a God Almighty. We love you with all our hearts. And now I want every eye closed. And maybe the greatest miracle of all is you can be transformed from a child of darkness to a child of God. You can be changed from being lost to being saved. God can do in your life what nobody else can do. What all the programs you may have tried and all this, God can change you. And do you merit it? No. See, it's unmerited. That's what grace is. Grace is unmerited love and favor. We didn't deserve it. And God wants to forgive you and change you this morning. God wants to transform you this morning from somebody that's lost and going to hell to somebody that's saved going to heaven. And it's not something that some intellectual person has to know and kind of explain. No. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And all it says, all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So all you have to do is say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, call on his name. Jesus, save me. I want everybody to say that with me. Would you say, Jesus, save me. If you just said that, listen, Jesus hears when you say his name. And if you want him to save you, and you really meant that, then that's what he's doing right now. And so just everybody pray with me. Say, dear God, save me. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place, for taking all my sins on the cross. Thank you for being buried, but thank you for raising from the dead. Lord, I thank you, and Lord, this morning, Lord, I just pray over every heart right in here that wants to be transformed to a child of God, that you heard the cry of their heart, and you are the great transformer, and you will do it. We believe and trust you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Can you give God a good clap offering this morning? Come on. Let's sing that song. Let's sing, I Will Call Upon the Name of the Lord.
And I will call upon the name.
Lift your hands.
The name of the Lord, who's sure to save. He is on my side. He has come to light my way.
Lift your hands and say it again. I will call. Say, I will call
upon the name.
That name.
The name of the Lord, who's sure to save. He's on my side. He has come to guide my way.
Say it one more time. Lift your hands and I will call. Say, I will
call upon the name
of
the name of the Lord, who's sure to say.
Cause
he is on my side and he has come to guide.
Give him a great clap offering today. Come on. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Turn around and give somebody a good high five this morning, would you? Say, let yourself be transformed today. God bless you.